The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, be imitators of me, and mark those who walk after the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is ruin. Their God is the belly. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind, the things of earth. But our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will refashion the body of our lowliness, conforming it to the body of his glory, by exerting the power by which he is also able to subject all things to himself. So then, my brethren, beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I entreat Evodia and I exhort Syntyche to be of one mind in the Lord. And I beseech thee also, my loyal comrade, help them, for they have toiled with me in the gospel, as have Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the crowds, behold, a ruler came up and worshipped him, saying, Lord, my daughter has just now died, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she will return to life. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now a woman who for 12 years had been suffering from hemorrhage came up behind him and touched the tassel of his cloak, saying to herself, if I touch but his cloak, I shall be saved. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, take courage, daughter, thy faith has saved thee. And the woman was restored to health from that moment. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a din, he said, begone, the girl is asleep, not dead. And they laughed at him to scorn. The crowd had been put out. He went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this spread throughout all the district. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there are several things this morning that I need to bring to your attention from out of the bulletin. Some of them are already obvious and we know about, but nevertheless, there will be catechism class this morning after this Mass. We do encourage the parents, I know it's inconvenient sometimes, but we do encourage the parents to try to make use of this for the welfare of their children. The usual Sunday Vespers and Benediction this afternoon in this church at 5 o'clock. Next Sunday, because of the ceremonies, there will not be any catechism class. Remember, too, that next Saturday night we change our clocks. Remember the rule, you fall back in the fall. You turn your clocks back. If you turn them forward, you will be in very great trouble. So turn the clocks back in the fall time. And let us pray that the powers that be will be given whatever grain of sense they need to leave the clocks alone. But so far, we haven't succeeded. Next Sunday is the Feast of Christ the King. For us in this monastery, in our monastery, this is a serious and important feast. But for all the rest of us, it is also a serious and important feast. As we look around and look around the world, look around our own families. Not that we are judging, let us never be guilty of judgment. But a simple question could be asked. When we speak of Christ as King of the world, it does appear from the looks of things that he has become a king without a kingdom. It is not the world. We must not be as the Jews of old who were looking in the Messiah, a leader who would lead them out of bondage or whatever. And when he was actually there, and they touched him, and they talked to him, and etc., and etc., they didn't see him. Let us not be that way. Christ is king, but where is he most effectively king? Out of the world? No, obviously. Then where is he king? And how do we rightly call him king? He is king, my beloved people, in my heart. And to the degree that he is king in my heart, to that degree is he king. And to that degree do we come next Sunday to pay him homage as king. We will have benediction twice next Sunday. We will have benediction after this Mass, after this 10 o'clock Mass. We will also have benediction after Vespers at 5 o'clock next Sunday afternoon. Solemn Vespers, solemn benediction. Let us not judge. That which is up for discussion of all things today by our world religious leaders today of all things our world religious leaders have a problem. Our world religious leaders no longer comprehend the Blessed Eucharist. Those of us who have a few years behind us remember as children, we had no problem with comprehending the Blessed Eucharist, did we? But then of a sudden, the Blessed Eucharist was moved and was relegated to the broom closets of the various churches throughout the world. And during that period of time, the blessed Lord himself, King, did not so much withdraw himself from the Eucharist itself, but withdrew himself from the hearts of men, from the hearts of those who put him in the broom closet. And they have taught over the years to our children, and it is still being taught. I have the book, and the book is available to this very day, where it says the Eucharist is symbolic. And what do you think that they are concerned about at this, where all the church religious leaders are? My precious people, my dear, dear people, while their own religious teachers are teaching the children that the Eucharist is symbolic, they, the religious leaders, are concerned that the people have developed the idea that the Eucharist is symbolic. There are times when one has to shake his head and say, somebody is crazy. So now we're beginning to question and to wonder and to vocalize. And we're looking for vocabulary to try to explain and to present what the Eucharist is to the people. As we now we're worried, we're trying to remove him out of the broom closet after we have put him there with the brooms and the mops and everything else that are appropriate for broom closets. Now we are trying to move him back and put him in the center. But we can't get rid of the brooms and the mops for some reason or other. My beloved people, I am a priest. And there are others who are priests. And I am unworthy because of my human weakness. Nevertheless, for some mysterious reason, I, every morning, as I will this morning, in a few minutes, pick up a piece of bread with one hand, and with the other hand, I, a worthless human being, am going to reach into the very vault of heaven, and I am going to take Jesus Christ in all of his divinity and flesh and blood. And with this sinful hand of mine, how powerful. I am more powerful in a manner of speaking than God himself was in the creation of the world, because I can take him with my hand and bring him down and put him not in the bread, that the bread becomes a reliquary, but I will take that bread and do away with it completely, totally, and absolutely. There is no bread left in my hand, and I will have only flesh and blood, and that is what I put on your tongues. And we're having trouble understanding that. How fearful. Then we wonder, when we see all of the calamities that are taking place all around us every day almost, how long, O Lord, how long? You, not that I put you or us a cut above anybody, because as I've said it to you before, you are nothing, as we are nothing, and yet you are so special. Because in your weakness, you, when he holds that in his hands, you do not see bread. And because you don't see bread, is because grace has touched you. Next Sunday is Christ the King. In those times, my brother, people, where you simply cannot be back here, many of you live far away from here. In those times when we have those ceremonies in this church, it would be wonderful if you, at those same appointed hours, could in your own homes, in your little chapels, in your little home chapels, kneel for a moment and tell God of your love for him. Tell him that you believe, and ask him to help you in your unbelief. Next Tuesday, not this Tuesday, but a week from Tuesday, is a Feast of All Saints. It is a holy day of obligation. And of course, you see the schedule of masses in the bulletin. Those of you who can possibly do so, please attend mass on that day. I fully realize that there are some of you here today, in here, who simply cannot go to mass on All Saints Day. By all means, use your little chapels. You see how important your chapels are. And as time goes on, they will become ever more important. And you will find greater and greater use for them as we get deeper and deeper and deeper into the pit. Go to your little chapel and say your prayers. I want to encourage you, to the extent possible, to try to use the missals, your missals that you have, and try, you have read, I'm sure, regularly, that part of the missal which is the translation, which is the English. I want you to try to follow along the Mass in the Latin. Not that I'm saying, don't misunderstand me, as some people are misunderstanding, that you are here because of the Latin. The Latin is nothing but a language. You are here for reasons that you know. But I want you to become very well acquainted with the sound of the Latin word. Whether you know the meaning of it or not, I don't care. I want you to know the sound of it. So that if anyone comes along wherever and however and says it another way, you will know. Wednesday of next week is the commemoration of the poor souls in purgatory. There is a text in today's bulletin concerning purgatory. I want you to read that carefully to understand purgatory, because purgatory is another thing which, for some reason, we don't quite grasp. I want you to read it carefully and to understand the workings of purgatory. We would be happy to go to purgatory. And we have to understand our sinfulness. When we go into sin, when we walk into sin haphazardly and willy-nilly, every sin that we commit, even though it be forgiven in the confessional, it is forgiven, every sin continues to have a price tag attached to it, for which we will have to pay it. Nobody is excused from this. Whether he believes in it or not, it doesn't make a penny's worth of difference. This is either done on this life or in this life by acts of reparation, suffering, acts of love in this life. And what we do not attend to in this life goes with us to purgatory. It has to be paid. It will be paid. And until it is paid, we will not be given entrance. So therefore, I want you to become quite familiar with purgatory and how it works. I want you also, that although it's not necessarily in today's bulletin, to be understanding of the sacrament of penance. Many people look erroneously at the sacrament of penance. Yes, they know that you go to confession and you confess your sins and the priest gives you absolution. That's all very true and all very correct, because that's what happens. But you do not get this into your, let's get this into our heads clearly. We do not go to confession to reestablish legal standing with Almighty God. Going to confession is not just a legal matter. Yes, the sin will be attended to, but there's a whole lot that will not be attended to. When we go to confession, it's not necessarily important that we demonstrate great quantities of emotion in confession. That is not necessary at all. But it's the understanding that I go to confession because I am sorry for having offended a loving God. And because I am sorry, there is remorse in my mind and heart and soul. And because there is remorse in my heart and mind and soul, I will have a firm, my dear people, I repeat the word, firm determination not to do that again. And unless those qualities are there and present and active in our minds, our confession is merely a legal action. Unfortunately, we will fall again. That's taken into consideration. That's why we have repeat customers. That doesn't mean, though, that everybody that goes to confession every Sunday is a fallen sinner. That doesn't mean that at all. We want weekly confession, not because of anything else other than the obtaining of additional grace, which the sacrament gives to us. Understand that well, my beloved people. Understand that very well. And the determination that we must form in the confession is simply, well, here we go, the word that comes up all the time, the conversio. We have to walk backwards, back to Eden. And until we do that, then we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing. So, let us understand that. There's another thing that I have to bring to your attention this morning. Before I go into that, though, I wish to ask you to pray particularly for the tens of thousands upon tens of thousands of people who have been victims of the many natural disasters that are hitting us from all points of the globe today. Pray for these people. Let it not be a case of Satan coming along like one with a broom and a dustpan and sweeping up tens upon thousands of souls into the dustpan of hell. Let us pray that Almighty God and His Blessed Mother Mary will attend to these people, whoever they are and wherever they are. This is serious. We will be saying Mass. I will be saying Mass here for them on Thursday of this week. Now, another big use for our home chapels is All Souls Day. The totius quotius indulgences. The words totius quotius mean as many times as. For every visit that we make, that you make, to a bona fide church, beginning at noon on All Saints' Day and ending at midnight of All Souls' Day, for every visit that you make in that church, and repeat five Our Fathers, five Hail Marys, and five Glory Be to the Fathers, and then one Our Father, and one Hail Mary, and one Glory Be to the Father, for the intention, the proper intention of the pontiff, that's required, we gain a plenary indulgence each time to be applied to the souls in purgatory. Now, I'm sorry about my voice. I don't know what's wrong with it. It's acting crazy, but that's, don't worry about it. It's nothing. I feel fine. Only the voice feels terrible. Hope you can understand me. In any event, today, you do not have the luxury that I had and those my age had once upon a time. We were so rich and we didn't know it. All we had to do was to step across the street and enter into one of our churches. Today, you have to travel 500 miles to get to Mass on Sunday. There's a change there. Therefore, dear people, those of you who do not live close to a church, a proper church, a true church, use again your home chapels. Go in and out of your little chapels, even though they be a little corner or niche in the wall. That's a chapel. Kneel down, say your five Our Fathers and Hail Marys and Glory Bees, and your one and one each time for a soul in purgatory, and each time you will gain a plenary indulgence. Each time. If you make 100 visits that day, you gain 100 plenary indulgences. Do not lose this opportunity to pray for the souls in purgatory. Our religion is serious. Our worship is serious. Our devotion is serious. And our lives are serious, and our God is serious. Let us give the best we've got in order to accomplish the seriousness of it all. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. God is there. He will help any one of us who cries out to Him for help. Do not be afraid. We are in dangerous times. Stay in the state of grace by all means, all the time. You do not know the day or the hour. We don't know. And let us pray that at most, at best, we will be once in God's time, souls in purgatory, preparing ourselves for the eternal vision. So remember these thoughts, my beloved people. Let us pray for everybody. If there's any sifting to be done, let's let God do the sifting. I am not the one who is going to judge. It is He and He alone. Your duty, your place, your obligation is to fall on your knees and pray. And pray for pray in the place of those if necessary. Pray in the place of those who do not fall on their knees, who refuse to fall on their knees, and who refuse to acknowledge the kingship of Jesus Christ. Look at the Eucharist when the priest raises it after a while. And all I want you to do from the very bottom of your hearts, as you see it in your eye, is to say, I do believe. Help me in my unbelief.